Alright, so we discussed last week, we began discussing the idea of tekiah, right? Tekah b'shofar, discussing what a tekiah symbolizes. And we discussed, just to recap very briefly, we're going to try and go add one point to this discussion. One of the best parts about not having a curriculum is that you can spend an entire evening just adding one point to the discussion we had last week, and not worry about that we're not covering enough ground, because make sure we finish exactly everything exactly the way we want to understand it before we go on. An advantage that I always tell my wife, an advantage of teaching in a setting like this versus teaching in a classroom. In a classroom you have a curriculum and you have to keep moving and you know, do it, you know, as best you can, but then you gotta keep going. But you know, our goal is just to learn Torah, so as long as we're adding and deepening understanding, doesn't matter how long we spend on one thing. So we're gonna try and just take what we were talking about last week, maybe, I don't know if about one step deeper, but one step further. So we were discussing tekiah, and we discussed, just to recap some of the main points we discussed, the idea that a tekiah was the sound of gathering, was the sound of getting everyone to come together, sound of bringing together. We discussed the idea of a tekiah as opposed to a teruah, that the tekiah is one long, contiguous sound, uninterrupted, as opposed to a teruah is a broken-up sound, and the tekiah is the idea that the tekiah is one long sound, represents a unity, a harmony, that everything is viewed together, as opposed to a teruah is when things are separate and viewed independently. And rachamim, tekiah represents rachamim. That's the view. If you view everything in context, you see everything together. That's where rachamim comes from, as opposed to the teruah represents din. When you view everything independently in a vacuum, that's where din comes from, viewing things out of context, seeing this isolated event and judging it independently of everything else. And we discussed that that's the idea of that tekiah was blown by the times of simcha, and as opposed to the teruah was blown in the time of yira, of milchama. And we discussed that there are two types of yira. There's yiras harolimus and yiras haonish. There's yiras harolimus, which is the awe of Hashem, the recognition of Hashem's greatness, which brings to just it just strikes you how incredible Hashem is, and that brings to a certain awe when you see, you know, something incredible. You see Niagara Falls, so the feeling of awe that you have is not you're afraid of it. It's you're inspired and taken aback by the incredible nature of the experience. So that's the one type of yira, and the other type of yira is the yira of onesh, the yira associated with fear. We discussed how one of those types of yira brings to ahava and simcha, and the other one leads to pachad, the other one leads to being cowed, one leads to being closer to Hashem, both hopefully lead to being closer to Hashem, but one of them leads to ahavas Hashem, and the other one really leads to a pachad, the fear of the onesh. And the last thing that we discussed last week is that the tekiah is also associated with malchus, that they would blow a tekiah at the time of the coronation of a king, and that the idea of malchus, as we've discussed several times, is the idea of bringing together, uniting everything under one idea, and creating a unity out of disparate elements, and that's really is the idea of a tekiah, is the one contiguous sound which is putting everything together, seeing everything as a unity, and that's the yiras harolimus, seeing everything as a shlemus, seeing the greatness of the, seeing the complete picture, and that's the idea that that's basically, in a nutshell, what we mentioned last week, without all of the support and rounding out that we discussed, but that's in a nutshell what we discussed last week. So I just wanted to add on to that this week, to discuss the idea that we saw that a tekiah is related to Simcha, right? One of the things we just mentioned, Ubiyom Simchasam, Utekata B'Shofar, on the Yom Simcha, they would put Tekiya in the Shofar, a relationship between Tekiya and Simcha, and it's very related to what we discussed last week about that the Tekiya is the Yiras Haromamas, the awe of Hashem, which is uplifting. It's the uplifting recognition of the loftiness of Hashem, which brings the person to Simcha in realization of the pure greatness of what they're experiencing. So I just want to discuss exactly what the experience, what the concept of Simcha is, and from there to try and understand why it is that Simcha is related to the Tekiya as well. So we started with the verse Bayom Simchaschem Utekatem. We see there's a connection between Simcha and Tekiya. So the first thing that's trying to understand is what Simcha is. I mean, we translate it as happiness, and hopefully we've all experienced happiness, and therefore we can just know what happiness is, but as more of a philosophical, conceptual understanding of what the idea of Simcha is, what Simcha represents, what the significance of Simcha is, and maybe even to try and pin down where Simcha really comes from, what really brings Simcha. So we'll try and understand that and tie it back into what we're discussing. So, what is the idea of Simcha? So, Chazal tell us, Ein Simcha k'hataras hasfikos, which means there is no Simcha like the resolution of doubt. Now, Chazal, when they say this, are not merely giving one instance, the greatest instance in where there happens to be Simcha. Chazal, with this statement, are really being magdir, they're really defining and encapsulating what Simcha is and where Simcha comes from. Chazal say that is the epitome of Simcha, is hataras hasfekos, is the resolution of doubt. So that there's something there telling us that that's really the ideal of what Simcha is, and that's really the root of what Simcha is. So a suffix, a doubt, is the result of the conflicting implications of two possibilities. That's what a suffix is. Anytime you have a doubt, it's a question, because it can be, you know, a suffix in something, you know, as mundane as, you know, you just don't know if the refrigerator light is on Shabbos, so you have a suffix that, you know, it's on and you're going to open the refrigerator or turn the light on, or it's off. There's conflicting implications of two possibilities. Or you can have, you know, a suffix being something much more intrinsic and internal, something where you're not sure how to understand something, where there's a suffix what the halacha should be because of the implications of two different mamai chazal or psukim or whatever it is. There's a suffix in even a stira, a contradiction, is in a certain sense a suffix. It's the conflict between these two incompatible, seemingly incompatible possibilities creates a suffix of you're not sure which one is how is I guess you say which one is the real one, or how the two fit together, which one, what the, it's basically a suffix is in definition the conflict which results from opposite possibilities, or from two distinct possibilities. The epitome of Simcha is the resolution of this conflict. That's what Simcha is. The definition of Simcha, in a nutshell, is the resolution of the conflict of two opposing possibilities. So, the idea of Simcha is that Simcha is the harmony which follows from disparity, from discrepancy, when the apparent contradiction, when the apparent discrepancy is resolved, and everything is fit together, and everything is worked out, and the answer is, the conclusion is reached, and the doubt falls away. The harmony that comes from the resolution of the conflict, that's the root of Simcha. And we'll try and take this further, but in this way, Simcha is very related to the Tekiya, right? As we mentioned, the tekiah is the uninterrupted sound. It's representing everything coming together, seeing everything unified, seeing everything together. Simcha is the same idea. Simcha is the harmonizing of all of the different elements that seems to be at odds with each other. Simcha is the emotional result of fitting everything together in such a way that everything comes together and everything becomes a part of the final product. That's the idea of simcha, and that's really what a tekiah is that we mentioned. Tekiah is one long sound in which everything is part of the same structure, is part of the same binyan. And take this a step further. Sukkos is the Yom Tov of Zman Simcha Seinu, right? Every Yom Tov has the attribute description that it's associated with. The Pesach is called Zman Cheru Seinu, and Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And so it's Zman Simcha Seinu. So Chazal, in these Tfilos, they're encapsulating what the Simcha is about, and each Yom Tov is being, the essence of the Yom Tov is being captured in that one line description. So Pesach is a time of Cheirus. It's a Yom Tov of Cheirus, and Cheirus is the underlying message of the Yom Tov. And Shavuos, Matan Torah, is the underlying message. So by Sukkos, the underlying theme of Sukkos is Simcha, is Zman Simcha Seinu. To understand, try and put this into our picture here. So on the most basic level, Sukkos is the end of the harvest cycle, right? Pesach is the plowing and the planting and Shavuos is the time of harvesting, and the Amzai is the time of reaping, and Sukkos is the time of Chag HaAsifa. Chag HaAsif is the time of gathering it in. It's the end of the process. It's finishing the process when all of the work comes together into a final product. The entire process comes to a point of completion. That's the Zman of Simcha. That's the time of Simcha, is when everything works, everything comes together into a final product. There's a Maharal that actually describes this idea in a more spiritual plane. He says it's also represented by the same thing, that Pesach is the time. He gives a mashal. You have someone, an Eved, who's, you know, in a dead end. He's stuck in being an Eved, and someone comes along and frees him from his bondage and tells him, I'm recruiting you for a special mission. And then he says, I'll come back to you with your mission. He comes back to him with a whole complex plan of exactly what this person wants to accomplish, and he's decided that this Eved is uniquely capable of achieving it. And he says, this is the plan, here's all of the steps of the plan, follow all of the steps, and everything will work out. So the Eved begins to implement the plan, and as he's implementing all of the different steps of the plan, he begins to see that as he does everything exactly as he's supposed to, everything is falling into place, working out exactly the way it should, and he sees the brilliance and the complexity in the plan that he was given. And then Sukkos, oh, I'm sorry, getting back to, we're still in the mashal. And then at the end, the this former Eved, now the worker, employee, servant of this master, comes back to tell the owner that the job was completed. The Maharal says that's what Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are. Pesach is when he takes the Eved, the Klal Yisrael, out of Avdus, a dead end existence. They were stuck in Mitzrayim. Hayanu Vanenu. Right? It was a dead end existence. And he took them out and he recruited them and told them, I have a special mission for you. Shavuos is when he came and he laid out the plan and he showed them exactly what the special mission was. Sukkos is the point when you went through the process, when you put the plan into implementation, you're now able to come back and say, I implemented it, I put everything together. That's the time of Simcha, is the point at which you're able to say, I worked all the pieces out and I put everything together. That's the point of Simcha. Let's try and see more why Sukkos uniquely is this time of Simcha, and how Simcha is the association that Simcha has with Sukkos. Sukkos has a very interesting, unique, and special association with the Beis HaMikdash. For example, Sukkos is unique in that Sukkos has a separate korban for every day of the Yom Tov. Sukkos has a unique status that every day of Sukkos has its own korban. So it's a unique nature to each element of Sukkos in its relationship to the avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. Each day had its own avoda. That's one thing, and one point we see Sukkos associated with the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha, bizman shebeis hamikdash haya omid, the time when Beis HaMikdash was standing, the halacha was that they took lulav, they took dalet minim for 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Medina, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the world, they only took the dalet minim on the first day of Sukkot. So it was only in the Beis HaMikdash that they took it all 7 days. Now, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Zecher HaMikdash, we take it all 7 days. But the primary place of having the mitzvah of Sukkah, of Sukkos, every day, was only in the Beis HaMikdash. And also the Aravos, we had the Hakafos. The Hakafos are they did the Hakafos of the Mizbeach with the Aravos, that was also in the Beis HaMikdash. We have Nisa Chamayin, the special ceremony of pouring the water, which is learned out from the Pesukim of the Korbanos of Sukkos that they did over Sukkos, the Nisa Chamayim, another thing they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, maybe the most telling, that Kol Misha Lo Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva Lo Ra Simcha B'Yamav. Anybody who did not witness the celebration of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the celebration they did for the pouring of the water, was Lo Ra Simcha B'Yamav, never really experienced true Simcha. So you see this experience of ultimate Simcha associated with Sukkos and with an avoda that was done unique to Sukkos in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a unique relationship between Sukkos and the Beis HaMikdash, and trying to understand what that is and how that fits in with our idea of Sukkos being the time of Simcha. So the Beis HaMikdash, and we discussed this before, we discussed this when we discussed the third bracha, the bracha of Kedusha, but the Beis HaMikdash is also the location of resolution. The Beis HaMikdash is described as Sha'ar HaShamayim, it's the gate of heaven, it's the point of connection between the physical world and the spiritual world. It is the place where the physical and spiritual world intersect. That is what the Beis HaMikdash, that is the location of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is the role of the Beis HaMikdash. Life consists of a fundamental struggle, a fundamental contradiction built into a person, that a person is made, is created, you are half physical and half spiritual, right? That's what the Ramchal describes, that the world consists of basically physical and spiritual. There are all creations that are entirely physical, and then their other half of creation is entirely spiritual, Malachim and Mazalos and all those kinds of things entirely spiritual, and you have one creation which straddles the two. You have Adam, who is part physical and part spiritual. He's created with this built-in conflicting dichotomy in himself, and you have a pull in two directions. A person lives with a constant contradiction, that you have the pull towards the part of you which is spiritual, a pull towards the spiritual, and a part of you which is physical, and pulls you towards that. And a person, and life consists of this pull in two opposite directions, of the physical and the spiritual. And the resolution of that stira, the resolution of that conflict, is the dedication of the physical to the spiritual. And that's what the maybe the most prominent element of the Beis HaMikdash was the place of korbanos. It was the place where you take your physical possessions and you dedicate them to a spiritual, and you dedicate them to God. The Beis HaMikdash was the place of taking, of uniting those two elements of a person, of taking the physical and dedicating it to the spiritual. That's what the role of the Beis HaMikdash was the place of resolving those two halves of a person's life. And that's what the Beis HaMikdash is, the point of connection. It's Shaar HaShamayim, the place of the connection of the physical world and the spiritual world, because it serves that purpose of uniting the two, of synthesizing the two, of bringing the two into a resolution in which the physical is dedicated towards the spiritual. We discussed the idea of Kedusha. The word Kadosh really means dedicated, something which has been set aside from one thing and dedicated towards something else. The Beis HaMikdash means the place of dedication. It is the place where the physical is dedicated towards the spiritual. That's the idea of the Yesod, the primary role, the most prominent element of the Beis HaMikdash was this goal, was this performed this role of the resolution of the physical and the spiritual, of bringing the two together, of synthesizing these two opposites and creating a harmony out of the most basic fundamental contradiction of our existence. Zman Simchasenu, Sukkos, which is Zman Simchasenu, is focused on the Beis HaMikdash because that encapsulates what Simcha is. Simcha is the resolution of the ultimate conflict. Zman Simchasenu, the time of bringing everything together, the time of resolution, of bringing everything to its completion, to a unity, that's encapsulated in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the ultimate place of that resolution, was the ultimate place of the resolution of the ultimate contradiction. As the Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate place of Simcha. So say that the same thing, Ein Simcha Ella B'Basar V'Yayin, is, you know, we today have regular put up a brisket or whatever it is, and Ein Simcha Ella B'Basar, but the primary application of halacha was not just any meat, it was by the Basar Shlomim. It was the meat of the korban that you brought on the Yom Tov. That was the primary, the simcha of the Yom Tov was accessed through the korban, was accessed through that part of your physical existence which you brought and dedicated towards the spiritual. The korban, which was your taking your chelek in the physical world and dedicating it to the spiritual, consuming that was the simcha of the Yom Tov, Ein Simcha Ella B'Basar. And not going to go into it now. Yayin is really also the same idea. Yayin you always find at the point of transition. Yayin you find at the beginning of Shabbos. Yayin you find at the end of Shabbos, the transition into whole. Yayin you find at the transition from single life into married life. Yayin you always find at a point of transition. It's the same thing. It's that which is creating the link, creating the bridge between these two stages. So uniting them and linking them is also the same thing. The simcha of bringing everything together, of creating a shlemus by creating a bridge from one thing to the next and not making it two separate, unconnected parts. The Ein Simcha Ella B'Basar Yayin is that same idea of the simcha of harmony, of unifying these. So how does this fit into Sukkos, aside from where Sukkos fits in the calendar, but just simply the practice, the mitzvah of Sukkos, of sitting in a sukkah? So the mitzvah of sukkah, the ikra halacha really is that you're meant to take your nicest, it's really part of the mitzvah of kavod yom tov, that you're supposed to take your nice kalim, your nice dishes out to your sukkah. Not everybody does this because you have, different cheshbonos, different issues of factors of hefsed, can get lost, can get broken, and there are reasons why there's room to not to necessarily bring your leather sofa out to your sukkah. But ideally, the real idea is that you're meant to bring all a kol hon beiso, you're meant to bring the finest parts of your house out into the sukkah. You're taking your physical bounty, you're taking the finest parts of your physical achievement, you're taking your bias, and you're bringing it into the sukkah, you're bringing it under the schach, under the roof of the shechina, right? The schach represents the Ananei HaKavod, represents the shechina that covered over them in the midbar. You're bringing your material wealth, your material accomplishment out into the sukkah, out into the embrace, the walls of the sukkah, the embrace of the arm of the shechina, so to speak, the arm of the shechina under the roof of the schach, of the Ananei HaKavod. You're bringing it in under the umbrella of that spiritual existence. That's the putting the physical towards the spiritual end. That's what sukkahs represents. And therefore, Sukkot is the time of Zman Simchasenu for that same reason, that it's the time of Simcha, the time of taking my physical and bringing it under the roof of the spiritual. In the Seder of the Yom Tovim, in the Seder of the Moedos, so Sukkot is generally taken to correspond to Yaakov Avinu. Each of the Avos matches up. There's three Regalim and three Avos. There is a Mahalech that divides it up differently. Abraham is Pesach. There is a Mahalech in which Yitzchak corresponds to Sukkot and Yaakov corresponds to Shavuos. But the normal Mahalech is it goes in order. The first Yom Tov, the second Yom Tov, and the third Yom Tov correspond to the first Av, the second Av, and the third Av. So Sukkot, the third Yom Tov, corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. In the Seder Amoedos, the Sukkot is the Yom Tov which matches up to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov in the Midos of the Avos, so it was Chesed, Gvura, and Emes, right? Titen Emes Le Yaakov. Abraham was Chesed, Yitzchak was Gvura, Yaakov was Emes. Was Titen Emes Le Yaakov. When we discussed way back when, we discussed that the real challenge that Yaakov had, his ultimate Nisayon, was to be deceitful. That was the ultimate challenge for him, that his test was to trick his father and steal the bracha. That was the ultimate test for him, was to be deceitful, to go against Emes. But Yaakov is the Ish Emes. He represents Emes. And that was his Midah. Emes, we discussed, Emes is made up as of the first, the middle, and the last letter of the Aleph Beis. As opposed to Sheker is three letters, which are all grouped together right next to each other, right towards the end of the Aleph Beis, not all the way at the end, because Sheker does not make it all the way to the end, but Sheker has a long run, but Sheker is only one isolated part. Sheker is only Miskayim. Sheker, falsehood, can only last as long as you don't look at as long as you only focus on a narrow thing. But if you're viewing everything as a shlemus, you're viewing everything together. So Sheker has ein lo ragayim, right? The Gemara says that Sheker is made of letters that don't have legs, don't have a base on which to stand. Sheker ein lo ragayim. Sheker doesn't last. Sheker is all grouped together. So only you see, it only has room to stay around when you're just looking at one narrow slice of the pie. But MS is the first, the middle, and the last letter of the Aleph Beis. And MS is made out of letters that all do have a base. MS is able to be omed. MS lasts because MS represents the whole picture, the totality. It's the beginning, the end, and everything in between. As MS represents the beginning, the middle, and the end, everything together represent. That was the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, was that harmony of bringing everything together. That's what we mentioned, that the Midah of Yaakov Avinu was Toho Kibaro, was that there was a synthesis, there was a harmony between his inside and his outside. There was no contradiction between who he was inside and who he was outside, as opposed to Esav was the exact opposite, the diametric opposite of Yaakov. Esav was the one who was who was Nimshal Lechazir. He was like a pig. A pig is an animal that has the external kosher sign, but not the internal one. And the pig rolls over onto its back and sticks up its hooves and says, its split hooves, and says, "Look, look, I'm kosher." On the outside, it presents itself as being kosher, but on the inside, it's treif. On the inside, it's tamea. So it's Esav represented that he always showed himself. He always played himself off as being this righteous, pious person. He asked his father, "How do I take truma on things that don't require, or meiser on things that don't require meiser?" He said, "You know, my father got married when he was 40, so I'm going to get married when I'm 40." And he married another woman. Meanwhile, he didn't divorce his wives who were worshiping his idolatrous wives that he already had. He was always playing this double life of presenting himself as being this tzaddik and being completely disconnected. And you see, actually, when Esav was buried, you see that Esav's head and the rest of his body are in two entirely different places. Esav's head was buried in Maaras Machpelah, because head, there was a contradiction in Esav's existence. His head and his body, was his physical and his spiritual, they were at absolute odds with each other. There was no synthesis between the two, and therefore his head makes it into Maaras Machpelah, but his body, the way he lived his life, that didn't make it in. And that was the Esav represented the epitome of that contradiction, and Yaakov was the opposite, was the split, the opposite, the extreme from Esav was the MS, was bringing, was where everything fit together. Yaakov was that he was said that he wasn't an expert in Ramos, said that he wasn't good at trickery. He says in Ish Tam that he wasn't good at trickery. Doesn't mean that he was inept. We see when he went to Beis Lavan, he says that, you know, if Lavan wants to play games with me, so Achiv ani beramos, I'll give as good as I get. But there was the nature of Yaakov was that he was averse to Ramos. Trickery was against his nature, because his nature was the Tocho Kabbalah. His nature was the MS of the synthesis of the inside and the outside, the spiritual and the physical, was the synthesis of everything fitting together. And therefore, Yaakov is the Av of the Yom Tov of Simcha, because that's what Yaakov also, that same idea of bringing everything together into a shlemus, into a harmony, that's what Simcha is, and that's what Yaakov represented, was that same MS, bringing everything together. That's the Simcha, and therefore Simcha is very connected to the idea that we were discussing yesterday about the Tekiah. Tekiah is the same idea, the unity, the harmony of seeing everything, it's one long blast. It's everything together is the same thing. That's where what Simcha is. Simcha is the result. It's the emotion that results from the resolution of conflict, from bringing everything into that harmony. So just to sum up, next week we'll move on to Shofar, to Kaaba Shofar. Next week we'll fit how Shofar fits into this same structure that we're putting together. But just to sum up, so we have the Tekiah. We mentioned a number of things which are all under this theme that we're going to try and build on, of that it represents everything coming together, represents seeing one complete picture. The Tekiah, it's the one long sound, it's the straight sound, it's symbolic of Rachamim, it invokes Rachamim, because it's the seeing everything in context, viewing everything together. the Yiras Aromimus, the awe that comes from a Shlemus of seeing the whole picture, and Tekiah is associated with the Simcha. The Simcha, it's the result of Simcha. Simcha is the result of that harmony, of that everything coming together and having that resolution where everything fits together and everything is synthesized. And the last thing that we mentioned last week was that the Tekiah is also associated with Malchus, and Malchus is also that same idea of the king is the one who takes the single, solitary elements who are all individuals, the individual elements, and brings them together and makes them into an Am, unites them into something, and synthesizes them into something greater than what they were before. It gives them the ability to take all of their kochos and channel them into something that's more greater than the sum of its parts. That's the idea of the Melech, is that it brings out the potential by unifying them, by bringing them together, by unifying all of the individual, disparate, separate elements. And the Melech and Malchus is that which brings everything together and unites it and turns it into something more than what it was before, creates a new entity, which is Echad. Right? The Melech is in last week's Parsha described as Echad Ha'am. He's Echad Ha'am. He's the one of the nation. He's that makes the nation into one. That's the idea of Malchus, is the same idea of the Tekiah, of everything coming together, everything being part of one picture, and everything being part of one Shlemus. We'll continue next week.